I'm always looking for screen-free options to entertain my kids, especially my oldest when we have long car rides or things like that. And something that I really love using with him are podcasts. And there's a really cute new podcast called Mysteries About True Histories, which the acronym is MATH, M-A-T-H. And it's from the creators of the hit podcast Who Smarted and Netflix Brainchild. And it's all about the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories. And it follows these two characters, Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers. And they're on adventures through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and it's really funny, which makes learning kind of cool. And it's perfect for ages 6 and up. So new episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter your kids won't even realize how much they're actually learning. And my oldest is about 6 and a half, and he loves stuff like this. So it's a great new podcast to introduce to your kids. The episodes are really short, like 15 to 20 minutes. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your older kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back to the No One Told Us podcast. I am Rachel, your host, and today I'm so excited to have Lauren Paley, otherwise known as the Stairwell Siren. Lauren is a music and lifestyle content creator and a mom, best known for her haunting covers that she records in her garage stairwell. When her husband's job went remote during the pandemic, recording music in a one-bedroom apartment became a challenge, and it was during this time that Lauren stumbled upon the incredible acoustics of the stairwell. And since dedicating her time to growing her social media presence, she's amassed a total of over 12 million followers across her platforms. When she isn't posting covers, she's sharing glimpses of her personal life as a new mom to her adorable 18-month-old Piper, and I'm loving the Disney content as well because my kids are super into all the Disney songs. So they love watching those videos of you guys. Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
That makes me so happy. Hi, thank you for having me. I have been a fan of your content and you since having Piper. You popped up on my feed and I was like, yes, this woman gets it. Like, I don't feel... like I'm crazy right now. So
that's honestly my goal, is helping one mom at a time feel less crazy and more normal. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
It makes sense that the algorithm served you my content because our kids are my youngest and your daughter are super close in age. I think they're only like 3 or 4 months apart. So we have a lot in common there and a lot of ground to cover today. I would love, since you brought it up first, I would love to first kind of talk about your journey with sleep with Piper, because I know you've been like really kind of open and honest with your struggles with sleep since birth. And I would love for you to just kind of share about some of the specific challenges that you guys have had and how is it different to maybe how you thought it would look when you were pregnant?
I thought that I would be sleeping by now. I think. So Piper has always struggled with sleep, and we had blamed it on just everything under the sun. So we thought it was, you know, reflux for a while, and then it was gas when she was younger, and then she was actually on a beta blocker for a deep hemangioma on her right eye, like on her right eyebrow. So she was on propranolol, which is a known sleep disturber, for a good chunk of her life, like about 6 months. So we're like, oh, it must be that. And then it got to a point where we're like, I think it's her. Like, I think she's just a low sleep needs baby. It's like nighttime is so daunting for us. But then in the morning when the sun comes up, she's the happiest kid. So we're like, what are we doing wrong? Like, is it diet? Is it this? Is it that? And then we're like, I think it's just something that we have to accept. Like, she has not slept through the night ever. And I honestly am so used to it now that, like, if she did start sleeping through the night, I would be like, what's going on? Like, I'm worried.
You'd be up. You'd be, yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're up. So we actually just moved to, we bought a house. We just moved to a house and she is officially in her own room. We co-slept for most of her life. We were in like our small apartment and she slept next to us in her bassinet for a while. And then it just really was not working out to the point where like, okay, like once we felt comfortable enough and she was like big enough, we're like, okay, let's just plop her in the middle of the bed. And that's kind of how we survived. Until, you know, we moved to the house, we're like, she's not going to want to sleep in her bed. Like she's going to still want to be with us. That she honestly, I think, started to not like sleeping with us because she's so active when she sleeps. She will literally roll and kick. We slept on the edges of the bed. Like we're in a big king bed and she's like, I maybe had like a sliver. Oh my gosh. Yeah. She would just do 360s all night, like kicking us in the face to the point where like, okay, I think she'd actually do so much better in her own bed. So now she's in like her little toddler floor bed and it's a full size bed. So it's actually not a toddler bed at all. It's a big bed. We have bumpers to keep her from rolling off in the middle of the night. Cause she did it 3 times. And then we're like, we need to do something. We need to get bumpers or something to keep this girl in place. And
oh my God.
I wouldn't say she's sleeping well now, but she's sleeping better because she has the room to move and kick.
Well, and a full size is nice too, because then you have the room to kind of go in and lay down with her if needed. Yes. I love that.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, when they move, they really worry that it's going to throw off sleep. But sometimes it's almost like a little reset where whatever was happening in the last house, like that's just not going to happen now because we're in a different space. And so sometimes that's when kids actually do start to sleep better, or they like get excited about having their own room or a new bed or something. So that's super interesting. I'm sure people ask you this all the time, and maybe they ask in a not so nice way because I see that happening on social media all the time. But do you ever get the questions of like, well, why don't you just sleep train? Or, oh, if you sleep trained, this wouldn't be happening. Do you get
my
comments
entire,
like that?
Oh, my entire motherhood. That's like pretty much what it's been like. I really stopped wanting to share kind of about my experience with sleep because of that reason. Like, even if I mention, oh, like Piper didn't sleep well, or she's not napping right now, my DMs would blow up with just unsolicited advice. And it was all about sleep training. And it's something that we did consider at one point, but because Piper is such a high needs child, she would get so upset to the point where she'd like make herself throw up, and I just couldn't handle it. Honestly, it stressed me out more listening to a cry in our like small apartment. It's like she was sleeping in our room anyways, so it's like I couldn't really escape it, and I just didn't like want to. I was like, you know, I just don't think this is for us. Mm-hmm. There's days where I'm like, I don't know if I can continue to do this, but it's like, I've already seen improvement just because she is getting older and just learning how to communicate a little bit better. Like I already see improvement, and that's why you stuck out to me, because you were always like, sleep training isn't for everyone. And I was so under the like impression that every baby like, you know, did well with sleep training. It was just hard at first and then it got better. But no baby is the same. So that was something that I was like, you know, I'm just going to tune out the people. I'm just going to stop responding to the DMs. I'm just going to do what works for me. I have friends that their kids have thrived with sleep training, and that's great. Like, more power to them, but Piper is just not that girl. it just doesn't work for her and hasn't worked for us. So we're just kind of like, all right, like let's wait. Let's see what happens with her naturally as she gets a little bit older.
I love that. And I love that you just said, I don't want to. And I think sometimes we think we have to give people all these like reasons and explanations for why we don't want to sleep train. And honestly, it can just be that simple. Like, I don't want to. Like, that's a good enough reason.
Especially me. I feel like I'm like a people pleaser in the sense, like, I just have to give an excuse. But it's just like, it just didn't work. It just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work for us. And maybe it'll work if we have another baby. Maybe that baby will sleep great. Maybe she won't.
Right. Yeah, but temperament is so
huge. I don't know.
Huge.
It just never temperament is huge. I just remember like researching like high needs baby. Like what does this mean? Like, why is she so different? Why is she so different than every other like kid's baby in our parents' baby? Why is she different than me? Why was she different than my brother? I'm like, my parents telling me, oh, like you didn't sleep well, but like you didn't sleep like Piper. I'm like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Piper's just, she's different than any child that I've ever met. And that's okay. She's just like a high low sleep needs baby. And that's okay.
It's a tough combo for the parents. Did you and Dan always agree on your approach to like sleep and parenting and stuff? Or did you guys ever have any disagreements with like him really wanting to sleep train or wanting her out of the bed? How did you guys kind of navigate that?
At first, he didn't really want her in the bed just because he didn't want to like start that like and then have it like not be able to stop. But we're lucky in the sense that we had the luxury of me being a full-time mom content creator that sets my own schedule. So I think that if we both worked, you know, jobs where we had to leave the house, get up really, really early and be out late, it would be a different story. I think we would be struggling a lot more to find a program or something that would have worked for her. But because we both had the luxury, he worked from home forever and I still work from home. So, you know, I can be in my PJs all day if I want and just kind of struggle through the day if it's a really bad night versus, you know, I have friends that, you know, go to work. So they really had to figure the sleep out. But yeah, we disagreed at times, but for the most part, we both can't handle the crying. Like we both have it's really hard on both of us to hear her cry at all. Like he's the one that will be like, I can't do this. I'm like, yeah, I feel that too, but I'm glad that you took the action first.
Yeah. I mean, I think most parents don't want to hear the crying, right? Like it's so upsetting to us. And it like, I mean, I just remember when we were attempting sleep training with my first, I would be like sweating. My heart would be racing.
Oh yeah. My Both heart rate. Like, it's like cortisol like, just shoots up. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I could not do it. I'd be like in a fetal position crying, like listening to him cry and looking back. It was so stupid, but yeah, it's really tough. So I'm glad that you have a partner that's supportive. And I mean, like you mentioned, it is totally worth mentioning that not sleep training and kind of just like following baby's lead and just waiting for things to get better. It is, you know, there is a little bit of privilege to that, right? Where
absolutely, you know,
I'm similar with my second two kids. I've been able to be at home while I work. And with my first, that was kind of like the main reason we tried sleep training because I was getting ready to go back to work and I was freaking out about, you know, I'm not going to be able to nurse him to sleep. How is he going to fall asleep? He has to be independent to go to daycare and I'm not going to be able to get up.
Right.
And like you said, like he is my highly sensitive kid. Sleep training didn't work for him. We tried several times and it just never stuck. And so I just went to work like kind of a zombie for, you know, several months until he started sleeping through the night on his own. So yeah, it's really hard. And it's hard when you have a kid that, like you said, is a little bit different, wired a little bit differently. And it's just, it's not something that's going to work for them. And nobody really talks about that. People act like sleep training is this like magical fix that's going to work for every family. And it just, unfortunately,
the whole
doesn't.
Like one size fits all outlook from like friends and just like followers of mine that really like, oh, have you tried this? Like, oh, have you tried the hatch? Like I've tried everything. Like
I've tried it all. Name
like,
it.
Exhausted.
I've tried it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And people are still doing that. And I'm like, guys, I've been desperate. Like I have tried everything and it just hasn't worked. Like it's definitely just going to be something that she grows out of. Like I know one day my daughter will sleep through the night, but it's not her time right now. It's good on some days. It's not good on other days. Throw teething into the mix, throw like a bunch of other things. It's just
it's
like
a roller coaster.
Exactly. So it's definitely, it gets on my nerves. I think that's like the most stressful thing about being like a social media, like online content creator is is the unsolicited advice. It just makes my blood boil, even if it's somebody really trying to help.
Yeah.
It's still, yeah, I mean, I'm I think like,
a lot of times it comes from a good place, but it's, yeah, it's hard. And I can't even imagine, you have like 20 times the followers that I have. So I cannot even imagine how many comments and DMs you must receive with unsolicited advice and people actually not being so nice, because just judging by the ones that I get, it's wild out there, especially on TikTok. Gosh. I feel like people really become unhinged on TikTok.
Yeah. TikTok is a crazy, crazy place. It's funny though. I find more negativity on Instagram, which is weird. Maybe it's just because people, I don't know. I get like DMs from people that like aren't parents on Instagram, like thinking like they know best, or like men. I'm like, excuse me? Like, you have no idea.
When the men start like entering the chat, I'm like, I gotta go. Like,
No.
I don't want to hear your opinion on anything. We're going to take a quick break, Lauren. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about social media and how you navigate it as a mom.
Perfect.
Now, if you know me, you know that I love to cook and I love creating healthy meals for my family. But even more than that, I love things that are easy and convenient. And even though I love to cook dinner for my kids, sometimes for things like lunches or if I'm just going to be working at night and need something easy for myself to grab, I love Factor's meals. And especially now in the spring and summertime where we've got more plans, we're busier, we're outside, we're going out and doing things more, having Factor meals in my fridge is such a game changer because they're healthy, they're zero prep, and they're so fresh and delicious. Factor's fresh and never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes right from your microwave. So no matter how busy you are, you always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. And when I tell you they are actually delicious, I 100% recommend these. My mom even recently asked me, are they really good? I heard you talking about them on your podcast, but are you really saying that you like them? And I said, yes, you have to order them. They are actually so, so yummy. So what are you waiting for? There are 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons you can choose from each week. So you always have new flavors to explore. You'll never get bored with the same old meals. They truly taste like restaurant quality, so you don't feel like you're depriving yourself of anything. It actually feels like you're fueling up your body with delicious food that is real and super, super nutrient dense. So you can enjoy this effortless support to your lifestyle, choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage whatever goals you have, and simply just eat well-balanced, delicious, easy food. Head to factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 and use code nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. So this is an amazing deal. That's code nooneToldUs50 at factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% of your next month while your subscription is active. And feel free to send me a message and ask me for my favorite meals, because I love talking about them and I'll be happy to help you choose. Today's podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, and medical-grade ingredients. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburn, rashes, and other types of skin damage. And the best part is that it's safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for use on all skin types and all parts of the body, even with rosacea, eczema, or acne-prone skin. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of 5-star reviews and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the littlest member of your family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all your family's skin health needs. I have 3 kids. We have injuries in our house almost daily, and so it's so nice to have Active Skin Repair to reach for in my cabinet because I know that it's safe, natural, and non-toxic. We use it for things like burns or scrapes or cuts. My youngest daughter recently had a really bad finger injury and we were using it on her and it did not sting or burn her at all. So it was perfect. Today, as a listener of this podcast, you can get a special discount on your order of Active Skin Repair. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOONETOLDUS. That's activeskinrepair.com, code NOONETOLDUS for 20% off your order.
Okay, we're back with Lauren, and I would love to talk to you. We were just talking before the break about how just crazy social media can be, and especially in the mom space, just constant like unsolicited advice, negative comments, mean comments, bullying, all of it. How do you balance sharing your life with your audience and also protecting not only your mental health, but like your family's privacy and your daughter's well-being? How do you figure all that out with so many followers?
I've just accepted that I'm never going to do anything right by all. So it's like, if I choose maybe not to post Piper in a video or not post her as much, I get people like, where's Piper? We want Piper. Like, I miss Piper. Like, okay. Like, I don't really care, first of all, but it's like, if I do want to include her in my videos, just because I am a full-time mom, she's a part of my life, she's around when I film, I also am doing wrong, because then people are like, you are, you know, using your daughter for attention. She doesn't want to be in your videos. Like, I have people constantly saying like, oh, you're just showing off, but you're pawning your daughter off for the attention. So you're just singing. And she doesn't even care. Like, that's what I constantly get. Like, your daughter doesn't seem interested. She doesn't care. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if she didn't care, like, trust me, this girl loves music. Also, you're seeing a snippet of like a minute of my life. Like, this is one little minute of my life. People comment,
and
like,
that is just such a mean, unnecessary thing to say in the first place.
Oh my gosh.
Shut up.
Of course. Some days I can brush it off, and some days it like eats me.
I'm sure.
It's definitely been a big struggle, especially lately. Like, if I have a video going viral and I get a lot of comments, you know, about her being involved, I'm like, do I want to continue sharing my daughter online with these people that don't deserve her? Or, you know, I'm like, I just feel like some people are so, so mean and hurtful with what they say. It's like, I would never post my daughter if I didn't feel like it was a moment that was special. Like, nothing is curated. I don't force her to do anything. If she's crying, doesn't want any part of it, we are absolutely not doing that today. Most of the times I will just film like a sing-along. That's pretty much what we do. That's like a playtime for us. And I'll film that. But there was a while where I, you know, didn't have a baby and everything I did was just me. And I get comments like, you use your daughter for attention. I'm like, I just involve her in the music in my life. Like, for a while, it was the stairwell. And then she came into the picture and my life changed. Like, my life is her. So it was so natural for me to want to include her in my music, just because I have always dreamt of, you know, singing to my baby and involving her in that life, and just in putting, you know, music into our lives. So getting those comments, I'm like, okay, like, maybe I have to rethink this. Maybe I have to rethink how I share, or if I share her, how often I share her. Like, I recently took a step back and I was like, maybe I need to start limiting the amount that I share her online. Even if it's like a beautiful moment, it's like, well, how will this be received? Like, I don't want, I don't want those accusations. I also just, I don't want my page to become people obsessing about her too. So I'm like, okay, need to maybe reel it in and get some content filmed without her and do some stuff alone. But it's so hard because I am a full-time mom. Like,
I know they're always around.
They're always around. And my parents actually just moved to Tennessee with us, like into our house. So
We
bought this house and they moved in with us, which we haven't had family around. So it is so nice to have them here. I mean, obviously we have our ups and downs so far, but
yeah, of course. It's a double-edged sword.
Exactly. It's such a difference having like somebody, like, she's with her Nana right now, which is so amazing because I feel like I couldn't do anything for a while. Like, she was just always here. So it was like when Dan got off work, I could maybe film like a cover or a song or something, or like on the weekends, he would take her to do something and maybe I could film then. So I'm still getting used to the fact that like I have time now to maybe like,
that's incredible,
film content alone or like get stuff done. But I still don't like to, I don't want my mom to feel like she constantly has to be doing that, even though I'm sure she loves it and she absolutely would. I'm so used to not having help that it's hard for me.
It's hard to ask.
to take her up on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find a balance. It takes some time. That's so incredible though, that you're going to have that support, because like you said, as they get older and they're around more, it's harder. I remember a moment that I had, I'm sure you're recognized in public all the time. And a moment that I had when I kind of started to really rethink sharing my kids online was we were recognized at the park, like for one of the first times. Mm-hmm. And this woman approached me and she was so sweet. Like, it's mostly moms that follow me, right? And they're all so lovely and wonderful. But she was like, oh my gosh, I wasn't sure if it was you, but then I recognized your kids and I thought it must be you. And I was like,
yeah,
oh wow. Boy, okay. And like I said,
it's
like
almost scary when you think of it like that.
And most people have such pure intentions and they feel like they know us because they watch us every day. But if you're approaching my kids, they don't know you. And like, that's not safe for me to be teaching them that anybody can just come talk to them whenever they want. Because, you know, when they're little and they're with us all the time, it's one thing, but my kids are now older. They're out in the world. They're out at school. Like, scary or creepy things can happen. And so it's refreshing to hear you talk about just having that awareness and being like, okay, mm-hmm. like this is maybe working right now, but I might have to rethink it in the future to protect our kids, because there are so many people out there that really do exploit their kids for views, for money. And it's scary.
And I can see that. And I like hate that. So I'm like, wait a second, is that what people think of me? Like, I never want to be like that. I don't really truly care what they think, but I don't want Piper to think that in the future.
Right.
So I'm constantly like, maybe when she gets a little bit older, no, I'll give her the choice. I've seen a lot of mom influencers, like friends of mine, that have chosen to stop showing their, you know, kids at a certain age, like when mm-hmm. they got a little bit older, just because they felt like at that point they had a choice and could say, you know, no.
Right.
But it's just so hard, because I truly like love the moments that I capture with her. I love singing with her. I feel like it makes a lot of people happy too. It like makes me so happy, and I love sharing it, but it's like there is a limit for how much I am willing to share. And
it's such a tricky balance.
I need to set a limit for,
It's such a tricky balance, really, especially with the video format. 'Cause like, I'm mostly active on Instagram versus TikTok. And mm-hmm. it's a little bit easier on Instagram, 'cause I can still like snap a photo of just like them in the background or the backs of their heads or something like that, and like share a little anecdote or something. But with video, like with what you do, it's a lot harder to hide them or to like shoot at a certain angle, 'cause they're little kids, they're moving around. Like, it's a lot trickier.
Right.
So yeah.
There are some angles that I've gotten that I love, where it's like, it's just like her back, but then you have people like, oh my God, she hates this. She's not doing anything. Like, okay.
It's like you said, like, people are never happy. You can never do anything right. And so like, why even bother trying? Does Dan feel the same way about like your lives being public on social media, or is he a little more reserved? How do you guys kind of figure that out as a couple and as a family?
So he's like, you meet him and he's like the most outspoken, not shy person, like the life of the party. But when it comes to being filmed, he does get a little bit shy. And there was a while where he really didn't want to be in any videos. And then for some reason, I think I started filming something and he came in singing. He's actually a great singer, which is funny.
He has a beautiful voice.
Right? And I'm like, why don't you want to share this with the world? We've done little duets here and there in the past, but then he like came in singing to the video. And I was like, I have to post this. Like, it's so cute. You sound so good. And then from there, he started getting like attention for it. And he was like, I'm famous. And I was like, okay.
All he needed was a little confidence.
Yeah. And I was like, now he's like suddenly like kind of wanting to sing more, like kind of breaking out of his shell a little bit. But that's really funny. He definitely does not want to be filmed all the time. Like, we'll never be like a YouTube family.
Right.
I don't really want that. That's not really like a goal that I've ever had, but I like the privacy that I feel like my family has. But I also feel like people know enough, like they see enough of Dan to know that like he's there and they enjoy the content he's a part of, but they don't know every single detail about our lives. But he did say something to me the other day about Piper and content. And I was like, you know, I feel like I have shared a lot of stuff with her recently. And he was like, yeah, maybe it's a little much. And I was like, kind of hurt by that. But I was like, wait a second, like, maybe it is a little much.
It's always just good to have those conversations and to be like, to have that person to put you in check, or even just to like make you think like, no, I think you're wrong. Or actually, like, you might have a point. Yeah. So
yeah, I was like, if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable with how much she's being shown, maybe that says something. So I was like, yeah, I think it made me kind of take a step back. And I was like, you know, I think I can do some stuff alone. Like, it also gives me a chance to explore more, you know, more music and other stuff and come up with, like, I've definitely wanted to transition from music to like music lifestyle. So I'm like, this gives me a chance to kind of explore more ideas in different types of content too. So it's a win-win.
I love that. I love that. We're going to be right back. And I would love to chat when we return from the break about postpartum mental health and your experience with postpartum anxiety. So we'll be right back.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lynn, this time of year, parenting can be such a flusterclux.
You've come to the right place. I'm Lynn Lyons, and I've been treating anxious families for over 30 years.
I'm Lynn's sister-in-law and co-host Robin Hudson.
Join us for Flusterclux, a podcast for parents who worry.
Wait, that's everybody.
Yeah, these last few years have felt like one long anxiety attack for so many.
Why do you think parents are always surprised that a podcast about anxiety relates to them, even if no one in their house has an anxiety disorder?
Well, worry is human. Everyone does it. And anxiety shows up when we face uncertainty.
All the parenting tips you've taught me have been essential.
I love to break it down into skills we need to manage worry in our families.
We've covered so many topics: depression, burnout, meltdowns, perfectionism.
Don't forget scary mothers-in-law.
Right, but of course that's not my mother-in-law.
Because that's my mother.
And a listener.
As a psychotherapist, I like to teach parents and kids how to respond to everyday moments in healthy ways.
Managing anxiety really can be taught.
It really can. And I'll even tell you what to say.
We talk about serious stuff, but without being too serious.
Anxiety wants everything serious. Anxiety doesn't stand a chance when we're laughing, even about the tough stuff.
So Lauren, I know that you're really passionate about talking about postpartum mental health, and I have definitely had my struggles with postpartum depression and anxiety in past pregnancies and postpartums too. So I would love to just kind of hear your experience with postpartum anxiety. When did you first notice it crop up? Did you know what was happening? How did that all play out for you?
It's funny because I feel like I'm an anxious person. I was a little bit nervous just doing research about postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression. I was a little bit nervous about how I was going to deal with being a mom. Like, was I going to be the chill mom or not? And it's funny because looking back now, I diagnosed myself recently with postpartum anxiety. I had really high, like the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, which I'm sure, you know, every mom goes through this. But looking back now, as I talk about like my breastfeeding and pumping journey, I realized a lot of the reason that I started pumping full time instead of breastfeeding and combo feeding was because of anxiety. I had a kind of a hard start to breastfeeding just because Piper had a really shallow latch. And I didn't realize that this wasn't right. Like, this is not what breastfeeding is supposed to feel like. And she damaged my nipples so bad. It was like bloody and scarred and awful. I got on like an antibiotic ointment. It was just terrible, but I was determined. I was like, there's no way, like, I'm not going to continue this. So I would pump and then try to feed her. And it was just still hurting. We tried nipple shields. We met with IBCLCs. And then she had bad reflux. And we brought her to our pediatrician. And she said, maybe you should just try giving her bottles for about like 10 days, let's say. I told her I had a really strong, why am I losing the word right now?
Letdown.
Breastfeeding. Yes. Yeah. Really, really strong letdown. Mm-hmm. And it would like choke her. So she was like, maybe she's taking in air. It's making things worse. She's getting like gassy. So maybe just try pumping. And then I got like obsessed with seeing how much she was getting. I just felt she wasn't gaining weight enough. I was like, you know, I liked the idea of seeing how much breast milk she was, like, I was giving her, I was pumping, and I would try to breastfeed her, but then I'd be stressed, like, she's not getting enough. So I want to pump. I want to know exactly how much she's getting. And I pumped so much. Like, I did not let myself sleep through the night. Like, even if there was a, she actually slept better as a newborn than she does now.
Yeah.
That's so common. We'd wake her to feed her. Dan and I both had anxiety for sure. Like, we'd wake her to feed her, maybe even when she didn't need to be woken up anymore, just because we were like, she still looks really skinny. She had hit her weight, when she was at her 2-week appointment. So she was totally fine to sleep through the night, but I think we were still like, maybe we should still feed her because maybe she's actually hungry, or maybe she's not getting enough still. It was like this constant thing. So it became, instead of me really trying to breastfeed full time and trying to like mend that like relationship, I just like relied on the pump. I was like, I just feel like now I just need to know. And then we would weigh her constantly. We had a bath with the scale in it. And Dan was like, I don't think she's gained any weight. I was like, oh no, well, maybe I should just pump and not even try to put her on the boob. So it was just like this constant, like, are we giving her enough? It was definitely an anxiety thing. And I continued to pump through the night, sometimes twice a night, till she was way past 12 weeks. And I remember posting about that. I'm like, yeah, I pumped this many times a night. And my doula actually messaged me. She's like, hey girl, like, you should sleep. You know, like, your body's probably regulated. But I was like, no, I really need to make sure that like my body keeps up with the amount of milk. Like, I need to be making enough milk. I was so like stressed about that too. And it's actually funny because Piper has a dairy allergy, but we didn't know. We had assumed, so I cut out dairy. She actually still has, like, if we put milk or some type of like dairy on her face, she'll break out. Like, it's like this, it's like a, it's not just tummy trouble or anything. It is literally like a full on skin reaction. So it's interesting now, because for a while I was like, you know, I could just give her like formula. And there was times where I like kind of wanted to like supplement, but looking back, I'm like, maybe it's better I didn't, because I would have straight up given her like whole milk formula, and then that would have been rough.
Oh my gosh.
So it was just like this constant thing. Like, I need to be making enough milk. And then I made so much milk. Then I filled freezers. And then I like donated it. And it was just like this constant cycle. So my pumping journey was rooted a lot in anxiety. I'm glad I did it. I did it for 14 months.
That's amazing. Wow.
And looking back now, I'm like, you could have been a little bit more chill. You could have given yourself a break. Like, I was so hard on myself. Like, I could have gotten a lot more sleep. I was just so stressed and had so much pressure on my mind. Nobody was putting pressure on me either. I think it was just like a pressure that I created for myself. Like, you need to be giving this girl breast milk.
I think that's such a common thing for people that experience postpartum anxiety. I tend to see these like three buckets that people fall in. It's like, there are the people that are obsessed with feeding and obsessed with like how many ounces they're getting, how much baby's gaining weight, all of that. There are the people that are coming to me all the time that are obsessed with sleep and like obsessed mm-hmm. with following wake windows, how long each nap is, like how many times they're waking up every night. And then there are also people that I find that are really anxious about milestones and like when baby is rolling over, when they're sitting, are they crawling? Should they be doing this? Should they be doing that? So I think we all kind of have like our thing if we're anxious people. And, you know, yeah. it all just comes from worrying about your baby and wanting the best for them. But what kind of support did you find the most helpful? Or did you like, was it kind of too late? Like you didn't even realize you were so anxious until you were kind of out of it and saw the light?
I feel like it was too late, honestly. I mean, I had people I went to for advice, like my mom, who was yeah. constantly like, you should supplement, like yeah. you should give her some formula, give yourself a break. And I was like, no. And I wasn't sleeping. I was pumping so much. My hair was falling out at like an alarming rate because postpartum hair loss, but also I was pumping so much. I was losing so much weight too. And just like,
you were
not
depleted. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was yeah. so depleted to a point where like over Christmas last year, I was eating something and I felt like I chewed on something hard and I took it out of my mouth and it was like this white piece of plastic. I was convinced my tooth broke. Like I was like, oh my God, I'm missing a tooth because like my body is so depleted of calcium. Like I'm missing to my mom was like, I think I accidentally baked something into that. I think that's plastic. Like you
it's not your tooth.
Are not losing your teeth. You're fine. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like very, very rough. That was probably like the darkest times of my life, honestly. Just because I was like, this girl isn't sleeping. She's also was stressed about the hemangioma and getting her started on that beta blocker, which is like a whole nother thing. And then the reflux and the food allergies and just, it was this whole big thing.
So much.
It's so much to the point where just, when I reached out for help or if I asked for like advice from people, I also was convinced. I was like, I am fine. Like that's so me to like just be convinced yeah. in the moment. Like everything's fine. Like this is just life. This is just life with a baby right. and I'll right. get over it. And when I did reach out for help, or if I did like ask, you know, for some advice, I would get like kind of messages that made me feel like maybe I wasn't doing everything right as a mom. And then I kind of shut down. And you get like, when you ask for advice, you also sometimes get messages that can be a little bit like cruel. Like they're trying to help, but also it's kind of like a stab too.
Right. It's so like a I was dig. Like oh, well, you should have been doing this yeah. or you should have been doing it that yeah. way or this wouldn't have happened if, yeah. Yeah. That's really hard.
Right.
I'm sorry. You
or
didn't
made
get the
me
support
feel like my
needed.
Baby was, yeah, honestly, it's my fault. Like I no. really should have reached out to a professional.
But when you're in it, it's not your fault. When you're in it, sometimes you don't even realize that that's what's going on.
Right. And so and Dan was, Dan totally realized it too. Yeah. Dan was like, you need to see somebody. You need to get some help. And I was like, I am totally fine. Like I am good. I'm like, the thing is Dan was also anxious too. He was an anxious father, like constantly worried about his daughter, constantly worried about, you know, the food allergies, the illnesses, to the point where I was like, you're just feeding my anxiety too. So I'm like, maybe we should both see somebody.
Honestly, times, I know. But it's so hard, but I think that's such a common experience where it's like, I mean, that was my experience too, where I didn't even realize that I was anxious until I was out of it. And then, you know, for my next pregnancies, I was seeing a therapist so that I was kind of like on top of it just in case. And that was so helpful. And my husband did too. And that was so helpful. But yeah, I think just like talking about it and raising that awareness for other people that are becoming parents for the first time is so helpful because then they at least know like what to look for and that you can get help when you're in it. You don't have to just suffer through it and wait for it to go away and pray that it goes away. Cause you know, you don't have to suffer through the first year or two of your baby's life without any support. Lauren,
I know. I was
what
like,
do
please
you
don't
think?
Use me as an example.
No.
I was like, no, I would do Lauren, it not this way.
No, exactly. I mean, that's kind of like my last question is, what would you go back and tell yourself? Or like, what do you wish, and it can be mental health related or something totally different, but what do you wish that people had told you before becoming a mom? Or what do you feel like nobody tells us or prepares us for well enough before we become parents?
First of all, I knew nothing about sleep. I knew nothing about wake windows. I knew nothing about like naps. Not that I necessarily followed any of that to a T, but I just assumed like a baby slept, you know? Right. And I would go back and tell myself, like we talked about earlier, no child is the same. So it's like, I was constantly reading things about these babies sleeping through the night, or, you know, how much these babies drank through the day, or like how much weight they were gaining. And I was like, I'm doing this all wrong. And I would go back and say, like, you're doing everything right. There is no perfect baby. Like every baby is so different. Every baby has a different temperament, you know, behavior. And I think once I accepted that about Piper, that she just was a super energetic, low sleep needs, high needs baby, that my life just got easier because I wasn't so hard on myself, blaming myself. And she is so smart and wonderful in every single way, and just a little bit more difficult in other ways. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I was like, did I eat something wrong during pregnancy where my baby just like is so energetic, she doesn't stop moving? Like, I'm like, what did I do? What was I taking when I was pregnant?
No,
but
I know.
It's just who she is. And and she's so great. And the next baby is going to probably be different. And that's fine too. But it's like, I was constantly looking for just a one size fits all, like give me a handbook, like what do I do? And it's just, there is none.
Yeah.
Like the whole book.
Trust yourself.
Right. The what to expect when expecting, like it only goes so far. Like it can prepare you for some things, but it absolutely does not prepare you for your baby's temperament. You just have to learn who they are with time. And it's like, I love who she is. And we're just willing to go with the flow with her. Like she'll dictate when she's ready to sleep through the night. Right now she still needs us and she's getting better about it. And she'll cry for 2 seconds. I'll, you know, pat her back and she'll go back to bed, and then she'll wake up 15 minutes later and I'll have to do it all over again. But it just, she needs the reassurance and she needs like a lot of love, and that's just who she is. And I love like giving her that love, and I'm excited to see who she becomes when she's older, because she is just like the most fun, wild child with all the energy in the world that doesn't sleep. My mom's like, there should be a study of her. Like they need to make a pill, whatever Piper has going on in her. Like we all need some of it.
I love that you appreciate those qualities in her. She's so lucky to have you for a mom, and to have,
you know,
parents that accept her and support her in that way. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been so fun to talk to you in person, and I would love for people to be able to find you and follow you. And where can we find out about your release of your upcoming Lullaby album? Tell us all of the things.
Thank you so much. So it is not quite in the works, but it is also in the works, if that makes any sense. So
planning stages, early stages.
Yes. Yes, yeah. And this has been like a long time coming. Like I said, I was going to release this before I had Piper, and clearly that didn't happen. And it's a little bit harder now with her here, but I will be announcing any updates via Instagram. I also have a YouTube channel, just youtube.com/Lauren Paley, where you'll find more full length covers. Right now I've been focusing a lot on short form content just because it's easier for me at this stage of my life, but I'm definitely wanting to get back into doing long form videos. But you can find me on Instagram, just Lauren_Paley there, and TikTok, Lauren Paley there, just my name. You search me, you might just find random videos of me singing in dresses or singing in a stairwell.
Easy. Okay. And I'll put all of that linked in the show notes too. Lauren, thank you so much again for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Rachel. It's so fun.
Hey there. I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.